But we're so thankful that you guys are here. I want to speak on four or five scriptures found in Philippians chapter 4. And I want to talk about the subject just for a few moments, the power of disagreements. We oftentimes in church will talk about unity, togetherness. We will talk about being in one accord, but we never will talk about the vehicle by which it takes for us to get there. So I just want to spend a few moments and talking to you about this subject, the power of disagreements. The first four verses or five verses in Philippians chapter 4 read, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companions, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Verse number 5, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, and let your reasonableness or your gentleness be known to everyone, because the Lord is at hand." Again, we speak often of unity, agreement, like-mindedness, togetherness, but we rarely, if ever, spend any time speaking about the vehicle that creates the opportunity for unity. I believe that there is power in disagreement if it leads to truth found in the Lord. It creates the crossroads for unity or destruction. If you read on in Philippians chapter 4, there's actually two very interesting, powerful verses that we actually repeat a lot of in the body of Christ. One is Philippians 4 and 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." How many has ever heard that scripture before in passing? How about Philippians 4 and 6? "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." How many has ever read that scripture before? We read those scriptures in passing, but in the context, it's very interesting that these two scriptures are in response to the Philippian church being in the midst of a disagreement so large that the word spread to Paul, who was out on mission, and Paul writes, "You have to learn how to agree in the Lord." I don't care, listen to me, I can hear Paul's tone of his voice. "I don't care who is right or who is wrong, I want you to find agreement in the Lord." Agreement in the Lord, though, is not as easy as it sounds. In our community today, we are one of many local houses of worship that belong to the Church of Grants Pass. Most of our local bodies are divided because of doctrinal issues, relational issues, power and control struggles, a mindset of scarcity, not advancement. Some believe in the continuing of the spiritual gifts, others don't. Some are so egregious in their air of placating to sinful lifestyles, while others are so harsh with the truth that they have left the love at the cross. We are divided on so many different lines. But I believe that we are tasked to be a part of a body of believers who takes these five or six scriptures in the first verses in Philippians chapter 4. We are to take them at heart, and we must learn what it means to seek agreement in the Lord. The fact still stands, if Paul wanted the Philippian church to agree in the Lord, he would want the Church of Grants Pass to agree as well. I think if you're not careful, we'll call everyone a false prophet, and if everyone's a false prophet, then no one's a false prophet. You tracking with me this morning? If we call everyone and say everyone's part of the body of Christ, then what we're saying is that there's not actually truth or disagreement that needs to happen to actually bring unity. One of the most powerful stories you'll ever study is actually how the Azusa Street Revival started in the early 1900s. They actually got together a whole bunch of fellow ministers and co-laborers and actually sat in a room and said, "We are not leaving this room until we can agree in the Lord on what Scripture says about certain issues." And they debated and they talked and debated and talked, and debating is a lot like what we do in marriage when we actually say we're just debating but not yelling, but we're just going to debate and we're going to talk and we're going to disagree and we're going to disagree and we're going to disagree. And then something interesting happened. They put the Bible to the side and they said, "Lord, Holy Spirit, we need your help to illuminate to us what's found in these scriptures." And something incredible happened. The scriptures that were written on these papers did something that was so incredible. The Word of God became alive, like sharper than ever any two-edged sword. And it began to like spiritual gifts and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit began to take place. And it wasn't just explanation of Scripture anymore, it was a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. But they understood the principle of disagreement is not meant to separate us. Disagreement is meant to actually get us in a room together so that we can begin to walk in unity. So I'm going to give you, on this Church of the Valley Sunday, let me give you some guidelines on the power of disagreement. Number one is this. Disagreement is okay to visit, but it's not okay to take up residence. Disagreement is only fatal if it leads to disengagement. It is our job as Spirit-filled believers not to go get so haughty in our own corner that we actually don't use the giftings and talents and abilities that God's given us to move the disagreement to a place of agreement in the body of Christ. Let me give you an example. Paul and Barnabas in Scripture had such a disagreement over John Mark that it caused them to separate for a season. Paul declared that John Mark was not ready and had abandoned him on his missionary journey. Barnabas still saw the potential in the disciple. I believe both of them were right. They eventually saw that young man write one of the Gospels and pen the words, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." While on that particular trip, Paul and Silas ended up in prison. What would have happened if John Mark would have been allowed to go on that missionary trip? The concept is very interesting, that disagreement doesn't mean that anybody's wrong. It might be that you actually are playing a part in the advancement of moving the body of Christ further. But the point is their disagreement was temporary, not permanent. It allowed the dross, the compromise, to be rubbed off of a young disciple named John Mark, who eventually penned the Gospel of Mark, which we study now in church history today, in the Word of God, all because Paul and Barnabas didn't allow their disagreement to take up residence, but allowed their disagreement to actually rub away the dross that's in our lives. So disagreement is okay to visit, but it's not okay to take up residence. The second thing about disagreement is okay, but you better watch your words. And you better not just watch your words in public, you better watch your words in private. Look to your neighbor and say, you better watch your words. Paul made it a point in verse 3 to point out that these that are in disagreement, listen to this, in verse number 3, their names are written in the book of life. Not every disagreement that we have in the body of Christ should lead to people calling each other false prophets or teachers or non-Christians. We should address those, but we should be careful about partnering with the enemy and slandering or accusing fellow believers. Disagreement is okay, but you better watch your words. You better look to your neighbor and say, you better watch your words. Apparently, Paul had to address these two in disagreement. He had to make it actually known that, hey, these two people that are in disagreement are actually fellow co-laborers with me, and their names are written in the book of life. So you better be careful that you don't actually have and feed into the tribalism that's happening in our culture and actually say, well, that person from that church isn't part of the body of Christ, or a person from that church is not part of the body of Christ. No, Paul writes, you better be careful how you choose your words, because you're probably talking about a brother or sister in Christ. Rebuking someone to be outside of the family is not the same as rebuking someone to be inside the family. Our goal in correcting, reproving, and rebuking is restoring people to be part of a relationship in the family. All right, third and final point this morning as we get ready to close. Disagreement should not lead to compromise. It should actually lead to agreeing in the Lord. What we have to be careful of is, especially when we get around fellow believers, what we want to tend to do is we actually want to compromise our positions in Scripture. And what we end up doing is we end up compromising on the wrong thing rather than actually battling for the right thing. But how we get there is through gentleness. We'll have people in the church, and I actually had a really cool conversation with one of the local pastors in town via text about this day. You guys know today is Pentecost Sunday, right? Pentecost Sunday is the day where we get to celebrate what happened on Pentecost. And us Spirit-filled believers, Pentecostal believers, believe that there is still a continuing work of those spiritual gifts and manifestation in the world today. And I love the fact that Church of the Valley is on Pentecost Sunday. And so I got asked by one of the local pastors in town, are you guys coming to Church of the Valley? And I said, well, of course we are. And I'm so excited that you guys are doing it on a day where you're celebrating spiritual gifts in operation. And he goes, I didn't realize it was Pentecost Sunday. I'm like, well, the cool thing about this is we're going to be able to have Pentecost Sunday at Church of the Valley, and spiritual gifts are going to be in operation. It's going to be really cool. And he paused and he was cracking me up. He paused and he said, well, you guys can do that before and after service, but not during the service. But I love the fact that the body of Christ, especially the body of Christ in Grants Pass, is working on not just disagreeing to a place of disengagement, but we're working on disagreeing to a place to where we're still engaging and talking about very important things. When I get in my private prayer closet, I pray prayers like this. Lord, I ask that you'll send a move of God so obvious that the church of God begins to walk in unity, not just in one local body, but all local bodies. That your Holy Spirit's allowed to move in a powerful and profound and obvious way. I believe that disagreement, though, should not lead to compromise, but to reasonableness. And oftentimes when we have these, here's a word for you, ecumenical gatherings of believers, what we do as Spirit-filled Pentecostal believers is we'll actually put the things that we believe in a side closet door because we don't want to offend. And what I am telling you is the spirit that tells Christians, especially Spirit-filled believers, to calm down is not a spirit that we have to agree to. We have the ability to be atmosphere shifters and changers. So when we go to Church on the Turf today while worship is being played, if you're joining us online, you're going to join us out on Church on the Turf. If we believe lifting up holy hands is what we're called to do and worship's being played, you know what we should do? We should lift up holy hands. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do things in decency or in an order. It doesn't mean that we should cause disruptions. It means that we have the ability to change and shift atmospheres by the way that we walk this out. So we better make sure that our disagreement should not lead to us putting the things that we're called to bring to the body of Christ underneath a chair, but actually bring them out so that we can actually see movement to the place to where we can agree in the Lord. Disagreements, you know, come from somewhere. I love what James chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 says. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from desires that battle within you? So let me give you the 30-second theologian on where do quarrels and fights come to in the body of Christ. You ready for this? I want you to take your pointy finger, and I want you to point right here, and they say, quarrels and fights come from me. They come from inside of me. Say, I'm at fault. I am the reason. Not another pastor, not another church. The reason why there is quarrels and disagreements in the church is because we're in the church. You and I are here. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you seen your resting face lately? We bring a lot of the quarrels and fights, but the quarrels and fights in the church, they'll never actually get fixed until you realize that there is actual power in disagreement, and that when you begin to disagree with your brother and sister of Christ, that's not a sign for you to switch churches. That's not a sign for you to run away from a relationship. That's actually a sign for you to get closer, because it's in the iron sharpening iron that actually God does some really cool things. So if you want to be a part of the willed and planned move of God, you must do three things. Number one, we have to begin to say, Lord, would you start it with us? Would you give us the proper demeanor to actually walk this thing out, the change that's needed in our world, so that you can have your way in the local body? Famed theologian Ravi Zacharias would always bring big questions from out there, and he would always bring them in here. Let me give you an example of what he would do. He would be asked the question, why does so much pain and suffering exist in the world? And using this technique, in order for us to understand why it exists out there, it's easier to answer why it exists in here, in the local body. Someone will say, why is there so much hypocrisy in the world? And he would say, well, why is there so much hypocrisy in us? Why would people would ask him, why is there so much good and evil in the world? Why is there starving children, but there's also all these billionaires? And he would say, well, why is there so much good and evil in us? And so one of the things that we can do to actually say, Lord, start with us, is these big questions of why there is so much disagreement in the body of Christ. What we should begin to ask ourselves is why is there so much disagreement in us, that when the things that we are convicted about, we'll actually compromise on and actually not bring to the body of Christ, we'll actually hide those things. Why is it, you're tracking with me this morning, why is it that we're so good about pointing out other things out there, but we have a harder time pointing out things in here? So we have to do it. I believe Ravi has taught a lot of people. It has to start with us. Two is this, we have to create and grow relationships that speak truth and grace that are rooted in love. You will never be able to walk in true relationship without conquering disagreement. I love, over the years of being a youth and young adult pastor, of the many couples that would come to me in the first 2 or 3 or 4 months of dating, and they would say, "This is the one." And I would say, "Are you sure? Give it like 10 months or 11 months. Give it a year. Walk through seasons of life with people. Go through the ups and downs." And it wasn't almost to the person. It wasn't 4 or 5 months later they would come in and they would say, "I'm going to strangle them." And I would say, "Now the relationship really starts. Now you're going to find out if you truly love somebody and they're actually compatible." Why? Because anything that is worth anything, you will have to learn how to conquer disagreements. So let me give you just a quick practical example, or just a lesson to be learned here. You have to train yourself to not run from disagreement, but to run to it and fix it only when you agree in the Lord. If you truly love somebody, if I have agape love for someone in the body of Christ, if we are a church family, we have to understand that disagreement is not a sign for us to run from. Disagreement is actually a sign for us to run to. Here's a third and final point. We have to be the example. You know that disagreements that are ignored are not actually resolved? We do that really well in the body of Christ, don't we? We just say, "Well, in maturity, we're going to sweep underneath the rug. We're not going to open up our mouth." And the invitation that we have as a body of Christ is to actually not sweep disagreements under the rug anymore, but actually say, "We don't care who's right. I don't care if Chad's right. I don't care if Pastor Jay's right. I don't care if Bethany's right. We are not going to agree via a popularity contest. We're going to agree with what the word of the Lord says, and we're going to practice what this says, and we're going to go all in on what it actually means to walk in unity and agreement." And so my hope today, I don't know about you guys, my hope today is to come and see that our church is not alone in trying to reach this valley for Jesus. We're not alone in wonderful churches that are going to be able to come and spread the good news of the gospel all over this region and all over the world. When I think about the miracle that just happened with River Valley being able to purchase the Flying Lark, my first reaction was, praise God. A place where there was going to be gambling and alcohol is now being turned into a church. That's kingdom stuff there. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I can't begin to express to you how important, though, it is that as we praise and as we honor other believers and other churches in this valley, that doesn't mean that our disagreements about really key issues should be just swept underneath the rug. It means that we actually should care enough to get in relationship with pastors and other believers in this community to actually have the important conversations about the fullness of the gospel that worked in our valley. And I'm so appreciative of being able to stand on a platform of pastors that have gone before me, that have established Church of the Valley, Church on the Turf, for us to be able to have a relationship that's rooted in love, to be able to actually say, we're not going anywhere, and our disagreement is not going to lead to disengagement, but our disagreement is actually going to lead on what does the Word of God say about things. So rather praying about something about, like, I wish there's churches in this town that would allow the Holy Spirit to move more. Like, we're really good at that as Pentecostals, aren't we? There's no church in this valley that wants the Spirit of God to move, and we get on our high horse. I want to ask us to do something that is going to be incredibly hard for us, Lord. Not what are you trying to change in there, but Lord, what are you trying to change in here? Like, Lord, what's in our life? What is something that we're convicted on? Because it's impossible. I know this is going to take some of you by surprise and shock. It is impossible for some of you to be 100% right. I mean, I think my doctrine is as close to right as possible, right? Like, I think I've got it all squared away. Like, when I read this scripture, I've even got, like, post-it notes, and I've got highlights, and so you know that I'm really learned, right? Like, I can pronounce certain things. It's really, no. My point is what we do is we'll take this pointy finger and point out there when the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, why don't you fix some of the things that are inside of you and inside of your own church that you can fix? And I'll be honest. I can start going into some examples of things that the Lord's been convicting me on. I was raised in a good underneath a good pastor that would preach a good message on hell, and give you 15 reasons why you're going there. And I am a recovering legalist. Does anyone understand that phrase? I mean, growing up, there were certain movies that we didn't go to the movies, didn't go to the bowling alley, didn't listen to secular music, didn't. I am a recovering legalist. And there is a part of me that there's this reaction to me that the moment that I see sin, I want to call it out and I want to slam dunk people. I recognize, though, that that's something inside of me that I need to learn, that the grace of God is even bigger than I can even understand or comprehend. That we don't serve a heavenly Father that's looking down at you with a notebook that's saying, oh, you just had a bad thought, so then we're not in relationship anymore. No, the blood of Jesus, it covers sins. And because we have that love, it doesn't make us want to go out and run and do it again. We don't want to disappoint our heavenly Father. And so we have to. There's areas in our own life is what I'm getting at. There's areas in our own person that we as Spirit-filled believers, we have to say, Lord, would you help us make sure that we don't look at what's happening out there and saying, help them. But we look out there and say, Lord, just like they're struggling with doctrinal issues, Lord, would you help us begin to step? Would you guys stand to your feet this morning? Thank you guys for being here. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over you. We're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to probably listen to worship songs today that are really doctrinally sound. I mean, they're going to be very versey. They're going to be like, you know, we're going to look at the screen and go, what's going on? But it's good for us. It's good for us to be part of this wonderful body of Christ. What we're going to do is we're going to make sure if you're on camera, if you're watching live stream, your resting face is going to be smiles. And you're going to lift up your hands and you're going to engage and you're going to be a part of what God's doing in this valley. Because the power of disagreements are that we get to have this wonderful conversation about what the body of Christ should be. And we can't be what we should be unless we do it together. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these wonderful people that came this morning. Father, we pray a prayer of blessing over Church of the Valley, Church of the Turf today. Father, the speakers that are going to present, the worship teams that are going to lead us in worship, man, I can't even imagine the nerves that are going through a lot of the leaders' bodies right now and wondering if they're going to say the right thing or do the wrong thing. But Father, I pray that they'll know that there is a church in this valley that is so full of grace, that we're going to listen and we're going to honor and we're going to engage. And Father, more than anything, we want you to be glorified in all we do. Be glorified in all we do. Lord, be glorified in all we do. In the way that we greet each other, in the way that we walk and hug people. We know, Father, there's going to be people out there today that have left our church in years past. And there might be even some awkward feelings as we go to engage with them. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that those awkward feelings be gone. Let peace and love and joy and happiness mark this event. Father, I pray that as we go and we see families that maybe we haven't seen in several years or a year or 6 months, that they would know that they are loved, that they are covered, that we are one body, and we are so thankful that they're going to be engaging in the larger church at His Grants Pass. Father, a blessing on this event, a blessing on the people here today. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. You guys are loved. This pastor loves you. You better run and go get a parking spot if you guys are going. God bless you guys.